chapter 1, verse 12. I wrote a note, though Mark is not here to remind me. This is what is called, these next few verses, the 12 to 18, are what Paul calls the advancement of the gospel. As if you can read here, for some reason we're having trouble with the power or the projector today. We see that this is what he means when he talks about how he's trying to advance the gospel through his suffering. Or in this case, his suffering has to do with his imprisonment. And so we see that under this section that Christians need to keep making progress in their lives. Christ is the supreme example for making that progress of love and faithful service to God. And all mature Christians can also serve as role models in this regard. And suffering will come, as we talked about last week in the sermon, you're all going to suffer in some way. But through faith, it can be met with joy. So, a lot of when I was going to school, a lot of people talk about that Paul and James are very, very different. And I remember hearing that a lot. But as I've been studying James to prepare for this lesson, I actually think they're quite similar. They may say things differently. I think Paul is more of a blunt instrument, where James is more of a caring brother. But I think they're basically saying the same message. And so we're going to see a lot of similarities through these two books. So I think it's good that we're doing them together. Would anybody like to read verses 12 through 18? Go ahead, George.
I want you to know, brethren, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusted in the Lord because of my imprisonment. Have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife. But some also have the good will. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am afraid to defend the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than for pure motives, thinking and causing distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretext or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice.
Yeah, so the first thing Paul opens up with is his imprisonment in the gospel, like I've already said. And so here, I think this is a hypothetical, or not a hypothetical, it's a physical thing that he's suffering, but he's also using it as a hyperbole. That's the right word, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's over your head. A hyperbole is like an example. So it's for him, it's a physical and a mental thing, getting around the physical change and the worldliness of the world. And so, when we look at it as our lives, we're not really seeing that it's... there are people who are obviously in prison for their sharing of the gospel, but also because for us, this is probably more of where we are imprisoned by our old selves that are hindering us from sharing the gospel. And so he's saying that you need to, or not even by our old selves, but by the world. And so he's saying that despite your circumstances, you need to be able to push through, and you will be a better person because of that. And for some people, I think this is much easier than others, especially because we try to put certain stigmas on people. We're like, oh, well, I'm not really a preacher. I'm not really a missionary. I'm not really an evangelist, so I don't really see it as my role to share that faith. When Jesus talks about it in the Gospels, he's talking to the 12 disciples and his followers, to go into the world and baptize the world, all the nations. And that commandment, it isn't just given to them, it's given to all Christians. And though Jesus really doesn't talk about the suffering that they're going to suffer there, he does tell them that you are going to suffer because of me. And like what James says last week, this isn't necessarily bad suffering, but this is good suffering because it is the one that tests your character, the one that you will know on the outside of the fire. So, I thought maybe we could start this morning by talking about some of our own circumstances, some of the things that were that kind of are hindrance to the sharing the gospel for us. Does anybody want to share that? Yes. It's especially hard when it's someone that close to you. I have a person in my life that they always use the phrase, well, this is my religion. And I always kind of think, well, that's a weird way to throw that. It's all about following Christ. It's not about following a religion. When James talks about the religious, he's referring to those who aspire to be Christian. But here, it's like we have so many different branches of Christianity. I don't really fault anyone for following one of them as long as they're baptized and they try to follow Christ's teachings. Maybe we have different ways in how we see it. And there are certainly some that are more controlling than others. And I also think that's an issue. But, yeah, as long as the salvation issues are there and the doctrinal issues are there. Yes.
that's why I said doctrine issues. I mean, Paul deals with that particular issue at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. He's like, who are you a follower of? And he's very clear that you have to be a follower of Christ. And there's certainly issues of peddling worldly materials as a way to get people to follow the gospel. In fact, there's a very, very famous story about a huge church in China about these Christians who were called rice Christians. And it was estimated that this missionary went over there and started this church, and there was like 500,000? Is that the story? Do you remember? It was quite a bit. It was at least six figures of people following Christ. And then and one of the things that he did was he pensioned his church back home for money so they could help feed the Christians there. And so when he died, the money stopped, and then people fell away. And after that, they were estimating less than 10 stuck around. So there's definitely ways that we should treat the gospel. If you're only going for the material benefits, then it's probably not catching in your heart. Jesus talks about this with the parable of the sower. He says there are basically four kinds of Christians, and only one of those types are the ones that... Sorry, not four types of Christians. Four types of people who hear the word. He says, and only one of those are ones that produce anything. And when they do produce, they produce well. Yes. Sorry, I think someone had their hand raised over here. Oh, but I think you hit on something even more important, because it wasn't just the sheep, it was the shepherds as well, the people, his close ones that also turned against him. And I don't honestly know if I was in that situation, if I would have done the same thing. Hindsight is 20/20. There's a story of a woman. I don't know when this takes place, but I assume it took place at least 1,000 years ago, where she was asked to repent of Jesus or die. And so she repented of Jesus because she wanted to live. And so that testimony broke her up so much that she went back and basically said that wasn't true. This is not who I am. And he said, you realize, he goes, then why did you tell us this way? She goes, she basically said, in better words than what I can articulate right now, is that my tongue may have caused me to sin, but my heart still belongs to Christ. And I want you to know that. And so they killed her. But I think that is an important story for giving future Christians hope, is that, you know, eventually there are probably times in your life where you're going to mess up, and you're going to be like Peter denying Christ, or you're going to be like the woman. And that's why we have things like grace and forgiveness.
Yesterday I worked with a friend. He was born and raised in a church for a long time, and he doesn't go that much anymore. We're getting into that conversation about God, Jesus, and all that other stuff. And yesterday I had to take him to Blue Springs because he's got back issues with surgery for an eye issue for a while. He has to have chiropractors on his back. So that's kind of the whole story that you kind of understand. So I was going up there with him. He said, well, I have this really good friend out of Blue Springs that I knew him from high school. But I don't talk to him anymore because all he does is quote scripture to me whenever we try to have a conversation. So I think as well, when you're trying to talk about God and Jesus and stuff, you have to know your target audience. Because if you don't, what you're doing then is just, you're talking. That's kind of like what my aunt was saying. You know, you need to know target audience. And at some point, kind of like what Fisher Ben taught, sometimes you just walk away because you may not be at that point for that God has given you, that God has maybe that person be able to talk to that individual to see what God and Jesus does offer in that culture. And that's especially this generation, my kids and younger. My friend's in between, so he's like about 10 or 12 years younger than me. So he's in his 40s. And so I think that generation and the earlier, they don't different culture of when I was born and raised and generations before me. That's how I could see, I believe in God and Jesus and all that other stuff. But there are certain points that you have to, when you have that opportunity to talk to them, you have to be careful what you say and do, so you don't push it farther away of, why do I even need to, that's how I can talk.
Yeah. You got to meet people where they're at. Or else you look all hoity-toity. And nobody wants to deal with someone like that. We don't even like to deal with someone like that. So I agree completely. Yes, and that's true.
You know, when you say something, it might fall on ears that may not hear, but may think, that may think that and deal with it later. They may not accept it in, but a year or two or maybe more than that, they may come out and accept it yet. They may reflect on what it was said.
That's true, too. You gotta read the room. You gotta know when is the right time to say it. I don't know what your friend is doing, so I can't really say. If he's just always quoting scripture, well, that just gets a little bit annoying and turn it off. But if it's a situation that's practical, and okay, so last week. I have back problems, and so my doctor recommended I try getting a massage to loosen up the muscles in my back. So for the very first time, I went and got a massage, and this woman, who was giving me the massage, someone called her, and she's like, do you mind if I take this really quick? And I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And she said, I'm busy, can you call me back? And he goes, okay. And that was it. And she goes, I'm sorry, that was my fiance. And I go, oh, congratulations. She goes, yeah, maybe. and so for me, that was like a very big clue to say, hey, what's going on here? So for 30 minutes, I did marital counseling to her while I was getting a massage. The whole situation was really weird. But that was a perfect opportunity for me to step in and talk to this stranger about problems. And at the end of it, she says, how much do you charge per lesson? Because now she wants to come back and get lessons. I go, well, I don't charge anything. We just encourage people to come to church. And I go, but I think if you want to do more in the future, we should do it with your fiance. And I don't want to talk about her particular life, but the whole the whole situation, it was like, how could you not turn away something like that? Because that, it sounded like to me she was crying for help. And sometimes it's not that clear. Sometimes it's more subtle. But a lot of it is, you got to take the time to listen to what the people are going to say. We're actually going to talk more about this in our lesson today, so I don't want to say too much. I think a lot of that is you have to know the situation you're going into. Like, I didn't know I was going to be presented with that opportunity with that lady. But I know with, like, if you're dealing with, for example, your father, that's definitely a situation that requires meditation and prayer, and maybe even outside counsel. And a lot of it is on you to decide whether or not you want to shake the dust off your feet. As Jesus tells the disciples when he sends them out. I know some people are very big fans of that philosophy. There's a company that they're called MRN, Mission Resource Network, and they recommend if you're not going to produce anything after the first meeting, just to move on. And I thought that was ridiculous. I'm like, well, you don't know that. Yeah. I wholly agree, and that's never set right with me, but that was their philosophy back then. I don't know if it's their philosophy now. Maybe they've changed by now. But when I heard that, I felt like, why would anybody do that? I mean, why bother even spending time? Now, I got their point, because when we were in China, we would mostly get people to come to us by offering free English lessons. And so you get a ton of people that would come. I mean, a lot. And so a lot of it was, okay, I want to make sure I want to spend time with the people that are actually going to be interested in it and not just not looking to get something out of me. I don't mind offering this service, but I also am here for a different reason. And so a lot of that is not something you're going to decide in a minute. I mean, they might decide in a minute, but you're not. Willie, were you raising your hand? Were you? Okay, I thought someone over here.
Everybody, but he said they also did go for God after.
Yeah. As long as you're, like as he says in verse 14, that you are bold and have no fear. Because ultimately, you don't know who you're going to influence, like George said. And so, you kind of just try to do it when you can, or when you're given the opportunity, and not shrink away. There's certainly things like family, job security, friends, all these things make us afraid to share the gospel for fear of repercussions. And in some places, that's a very, very serious thing. I mean, if I went and told my father about the gospel, he would probably be like, yeah, okay. And to me, I don't really have a great relationship with my father, so I don't see that as something to shrink away from. But if I did the same thing to my mother, and my mom strongly said, well, and my mom wouldn't do this, by the way, said something like, well, I don't like that, so I'm not going to deal with you anymore, then that might certainly give me pause. Well, luckily, I have a great relationship that those aren't things that are going to be hindrance to me, but I know that they are definitely hindrance to some people. One more second. I do want to say one thing. Is in our society, especially when it comes to our jobs, we're just told, keep silent. And so that's tied into our job security a lot as well. You start talking to people about religion, you might risk your actual job. And so a lot of what that is how do you reconcile that? And that really depends on your situation. All right, go ahead. Would have just told me is I'm fine, and that would have been the end of it. Yeah, there's a statistic, and I don't know if this is accurate, that 8 out of 10 people who are suffering from problems ask for help in some way or another. And so people want to open up. A lot of them just don't want to be the one to open the door. And so a simple, how are you doing, could really solve a lot of those problems. Yes?
Idea that what the good Lord is, and they told me this, you know, and
Paul says here that it doesn't, to him, at least he sees it as, it doesn't matter how you're doing it as long as you are doing it. Now he says to do it out of love is the right way, but at least you should be making efforts to proclaim the gospel, not be ashamed of what it is. You don't need to beat someone with your sword. George? Themselves. Their Christianity seems like a nice idea, but when you start applying it practically to your lives, then you realize how destructive it is to living for God and living in the world. But I think that's a topic for another day. But I like where you guys are all saying, and I think a lot of you are just saying the same thing, is we've got to make sure that we're standing strong and not ashamed of who God is, and despite our situations and our own afflictions. So I encourage you to keep pushing through, because it is better. Okay, that's the end of class today. We'll start in verse 19 next week.